Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 9, Funky Baz and Face. First time we're all in the room together, so I'm pretty excited about that. Normally we're separate. We decided to bring it all in. We had a break last week too, so welcome, Baz.
Welcome, Funk and Face. It's good to be all together. I'm sure the listeners were asking for this, so they've got what they wanted.
How you going, Face?
Yeah, very well, Funky and Baz. It's very good to have this conversation all together in your home studio, and let's raise the bar to our podcast
tonight. I'm very impressed with the preparation that you boys have come with. You come with notes, you come with pens and paper. I just didn't think you went into that much homework and detail.
Well, you don't have anything, mate. What do you do? Just off the cuff, eh?
Yeah, well, a bit smarter than you guys. So tonight in Funky Baz and Face, we've got a new segment. Shit or Shine's going to be benched this week. We're going to bring in a new segment, which I'll break.
About time.
Baz has got some breaking news. We'll cut to that breaking news soon. As always, we've got Baz's Bake. Face has got Tweet of the Week, and we're going to mention new followers. New followers, Jason Earl. Now, he's got a cracking nickname, Jason Earl, the Doctor.
The Doctor.
The Doctor. He was a player at Woodville West Torrens Footy Club, and then he's gone on to play at Malala Football Club and then coach. They called him the Doctor because his skills were so clinical.
Oh, I like that. I've had a few nicknames, probably not all that complimentary, but the Doctor is a very good one.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind the Doctor, but clearly my skills went up to it to be called.
No.
He sent us a message to say, love your work, Funky, so very good.
When you go to a new club, you do get to sort of make your own nickname.
You do.
You introduce yourself. You could be, I'm the king, or I'm the horse. Or
actually, just on that, explain your Marion Rams nickname due to your hat.
Well, on my first training session, I went with the Orlando Magic as a t-shirt, and they called me Magic, which obviously I didn't have magic skills, but still I was called Magic.
That's very smart.
Yeah, very good t-shirt, that one.
Yeah.
Orlando Magic.
I'm pretty sure when I joined the Walkerville Cats, I introduced myself as Scott, and that's all I got.
Scott.
You could have gone into that.
Yeah, it's unlucky.
Chris and Thomas, Selena Crowe, colleagues of mine, and they said, love your work, Funky, I agree with everything that you say, not much that Baz and Face agree with.
Come on, Kristen.
And Kristen, who, Rusty Ump, Craig Thomas, who also follows us.
Yeah, big follower on
they
Twitter.
They start the weekend listening to Funky Baz and Face.
Awesome. Well,
how good is that?
Is she a sportsman?
Craig is the South Australian District umpire, and he's done some BBL games as well, and some WBBL games, and Kristen's the historian for the South Australian Umpires Association.
Jeez, that would be a good girl to have in your corner, wouldn't it? Because usually your wife has nothing to do with your sport.
Cricket, umpiring.
And
cricket.
Then umpiring.
Absolutely, be unbelievable.
She's into genealogy. Wow. Which is like, you know, family.
So she is married, is she?
She's married to Craig.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's unlucky.
Kristen, if things go pear-shaped, well, then maybe, but no, that's great. That's a great hobby.
Another great follower, Funky.
Yeah. Yes, and she's been tweeting our stuff, so she likes it. Baz, you got another follower as well?
I do.
Jess Adams.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Jess is on board. So Jess is a very enthusiastic listener of Funky Baz and Face, and she had a few ideas for us, which obviously we probably should take on board.
Probably got a little bit more experience in the media space than the three of us.
She must be impressed with us.
I think what she's really keen, and you've talked to us earlier, Baz, was the future merchandise of Funky Baz and Face.
Yes. I think she'll definitely be a t-shirt wearer. Maybe we can get her to wear that when she's on her reporting.
That would be good.
So we've got some merchandise coming out for our followers. Might have to chuck some prizes.
I think so. That'd be good.
The best tweet to Funky Baz and Face.
Yeah.
Yes.
Probably a shout out to Ash Ross, who maybe we'll wait till the we tweet it out, but did some nice little caricatures of our heads.
You were a bit precious about that.
I looked horrendous.
If ever there's one that's precious, you know, I'll put on all the eye cream and the zit cream and all that sort of stuff when I was young, the cucumbers on the face, but you were very nonchalant about that stuff.
I think because I was much better than what my character looks like.
Obviously, I was pretty happy with my character.
It might have aged you a little bit, but
yeah. Baz looks spot on.
Yeah,
my face is a bit long though, isn't it, mate?
Yeah, it's about right. It's about right.
Yeah, I think it looks
good. But hats off to Ash for doing that in his spare time for us, for Funky Baz
and
Face.
And we've got some Bray Boys as well.
Well, they're very prominent in their Facebook towards Funky Baz and Face, and give us lots of love there. So hats off to all the Bray followers out there.
You know Josh Bray? 8-time premiership winner. 8-time.
Incredible.
Right? He's in my phone as 8. I'm not sure if he'll make it 9. They're struggling a bit, the Murrumbit boys this year, but 8. He's been on about 45,000 footy trips too, and he very well performed on that. But in his footy career, 8 premierships. So, and they have been confirmed as coming to the cricket this year in Adelaide, so that's also great news.
So he's a lock for a local legend on Funky Baz and
Face. He is.
And probably when we say Bray Boys, we should not exclude Dusty Lavery in that group.
No, I'm not sure he's a local legend.
No.
he's done a few cricket fill-ins.
He's a follower and a listener, so very, very...
Oh, good to Dust. And Dust has come over the cricket this year, so welcome, Dust.
Now, boys, I've led with Shit or Shine from episode 1, and I'm going to park Shit or Shine. So I'm just going to test some new segment, so you can give me some feedback and our listeners can give me some feedback. I'm going to go with Would You Rather.
Oh, I like that.
And I've got a few scenarios for you. I'll give you 2 options and you can tell me which one you would rather. I'll just ease you in. So the first one, here's your 2 options. Would you rather sign a 5-year, $3 million deal with the Richmond Tigers or a 5-year, $5 million deal with the Gold Coast Suns?
Jeez, I really like that topic, but I think it's just too much disparity, is that a word?
No.
Disparity?
Disparity between the 2 figures. Because I think Mrs. Harris would be dying you to sign the Carlton deal. And just hope and fingers crossed, toes crossed.
This is the Gold Coast deal.
Gold Coast.
So it's $3 million for 5 years at Richmond or $5 million for 5 years at Gold Coast.
Well, I think the wife would like the surf and the sun of the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
And she would want that extra money. And she just crossed fingers that they come good.
But she might like the shopping and the cafe lattes down Lygott Street, Melbourne,
well,
too.
Well, it's actually a good point, because they're saying that Riewoldt signed for less money for his new deal, but what Richmond have done for him in terms of making him a better player, he actually wouldn't have that contract if he went to the Gold Coast. So it's a very tough decision.
I'm taking the Richmond deal.
I know that, as you alluded to, Mrs. Harris, Baz, Mrs. Harris on my side, she would be hoping for a $5 million 1-year deal, because to spend another 5 years in footy, she probably wouldn't be too happy with that. But I think you go success at this stage. It depends at the time of the career you are. You're always chasing flags, so I would go with...
be a great lifestyle too, wouldn't it? Yeah, but I think that's a decision that we probably don't have to make.
We're safe from having...
I'm going with the Tigers. It's a tough one. So I'm easing you into that one. So here's another one of a 5-year. 5-year, $5 million contract to coach the Carlton Blues. Or 5 years, $2 million to do absolutely bugger all.
Just give us that last bit again.
Okay, so for 5 years, I'll give you $2 million and you do nothing. Or for 5 years, you get $5 million and you get to coach Carlton.
Well, considering I probably won't mention the department I work for, but considering I'm in government and get blamed a lot for doing nothing anyway, the 2 years of doing nothing...
It's not great for your career. I mean, to turn around Carlton would be a huge benefit for you. If you were keen on footy, of course, you take the first year deal. And to be in that club with all its history that it has, if you could get them up, you would be a living legend for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So I would back myself, and you could have the chance of fame and fortune as well. So I think I'll take the Carlton deal.
Thinking of, say, Stewie Jew at Gold Coast, he wouldn't be getting paid that much, but he's still got that massive task ahead of himself, really, without any fallback option for him. If he goes up there and succeeds at Gold Coast, then it all opens up. But if he fails... then he's going to have that on his resume, unfortunately.
Very good call, folks.
Yeah. The 5-year, $2 million deal, $400,000 a year to do nothing wouldn't be too bad, but I like your call, Baz. I think that's good. Taylor Walker, came up this week to say that when Jake Lever left, he chose money over success. If you were to put your house on a club to win the premiership over the next 5 years, would you put your house on the Crows winning a premiership in the next 5 years or Melbourne?
You know what you're going to say? The easy answer here is Melbourne, right? But this is a club that has underperformed for the last 20, 25 years. They haven't made finals for how many years? I've done no research on this, but it would be around about 12 or 14.
Well, we had a heads up, so probably Neil Danaher times, maybe.
It's a long time. They've got no history.
Beat the Crows in 98.
And yeah, it's a long time since I've played finals. So, yes, I think the easy answer is Melbourne, but this is an underperforming club. I don't know. Maybe they're changing it around, but I'm taking the Crows. Maybe I'm a bit biased there, but I think the Crows have still got the list, the history behind them. I think we're okay.
What were we betting on here?
This is 5 years with the Crows. Putting your house on who would win the premiership over 5 years, the Crows or Melbourne?
The heart always says Crows, so I'm hoping like hell the next 5 years we win a flag, otherwise I'm going to be a very grumpy man by the time I'm 43.
Melbourne's got a great list. They do have a great
and
list.
And that's it's the draft picks that I think will probably get them through, but isn't it interesting, like
not
if we said this time last year, it would have been a really easy decision.
Yeah.
So it does show how quickly it changes as well. Bit off topic this one. Would you rather have Lee Matthews' AFL record of 8 premierships as a player and coach and 8 best and fairests, or Donald Bradman's cricket record average of 99.94?
Wow. Jeez. That is a great one.
Thank you.
Do you have to live in those eras or can you live in this era?
You can choose.
I reckon I'd go the Don. Nothing's ever been done like that before. The man's... Burbage Road got changed to Sir Donald Bradman. I reckon I'd go...
There's no Lee Matthews Road.
No, exactly. No, the Don is something that the Indians speak about. Indians don't speak about Lee Matthews.
No, the Matthews motorway does not exist.
No, that's right.
It's good that you didn't mix up the Philippines and the Malaysians with the Indians. I think... talk about a He-Man. I'd love to... Imagine having Lee Matthews' record and living with that for the rest of your life. He's an immortal Matthews. And being more football-oriented than cricket, I'll go with Matthews' record.
I'll go the Don. The Don's made it on the international stage and he's a mere mortal internationally. So I think that's the one. The international...
It's Sir Don Bradman, it's not Sir Lee Matthews.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Well, yeah. I think after he punched Bruns in the head, that probably finished him.
Yeah. I got one more.
Yep.
All right. Would you rather have the ball in your hands after the siren on an AFL Grand Final day where your team's down by 5 points and you're kicking from 50? Or would you rather have the same scenario but the ball was in the hands of your opponent and you're up by 5
points?
Well,
I'll tell you what I'd rather, because I'm a perennial choker. I've choked in 1994 against Williston. I choked in short pass when I should have kicked for a score. And the Bray boys would know that I choked at Murrabit when they needed 2 runs to win, 1 wicket to go, and I snicked it behind and I lost the game.
You went Cal Corner, actually.
No, snicked it behind and Josh Bray gave me out caught behind and, yeah, I choked then. So I'd rather the ball in the other person's hand.
It's a massive responsibility. And if I was a really good kick, then you'd back yourself, I think, at that level. And how many replays? Oh, I'm sick to death of seeing the Richmond Grand Final replays. It just breaks my heart that little bit more each time I see it. So to think that you'd be put in that situation where you could give your team the opportunity to win a Grand Final and be an immortal, essentially. Even Richmond, they made them life members, so why wouldn't you want to be in that position? Mm. You'd want to have a good leg, though.
I think one of the keys is you're on 50. So if your fans were watching you kick from 50, they'd probably think you're not going to kick it. Not many players kick it from 50 these days.
Not many now, is it?
After the game, on the siren, Grand Final, you're more likely to miss it, aren't you? But if you could just get it, you will be a legend forever. And
you'd never buy a drink again.
And everyone would talk about you forever, but it's likely you're going to miss it.
And everyone will talk about you forever if you miss it too.
The flip side is your opponent's got it. He's taken a mark over you. He's got it on 50 and he wins the game for you. But anyway, I think we're there.
Good segment. Funny.
Thank you, boys.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah,
I liked
it.
I'd like to hear the listeners' take on Would You Rather over Shit or Sean.
Yeah, and if they've got any other Would You Rathers, we're happy to...
Heath Kamain Would You Rathers? Or
no, we're not Heath Kamain Would You Rathers, but we have heard about Heath Kamain Would You Rathers, but if someone wants to let us know. Now, Baz, you've got some breaking news.
Well, I like to keep my nose close to the ground and just see what's happening with the locals around. And this is Barossa Light and Gawler News. So for those that aren't affiliated with that, I do apologise. I'll keep it reasonably quick. But this breaking news tonight is that the Williston coach, has been suspended for 12 months and has thus been stood down and sacked from his role. It all reverts back to the illegal sign-on fee that was paid to Josh Glenn. And he, with some circumstances which we won't go into, left the club before the start of the year.
Now playing.
Went to Norwood, playing some great footy at Norwood in the league team.
Yep.
But this week, Williston were docked 6 premiership points, which puts them
How were they going this year?
They were equal on top with 4 teams.
Oh, right.
18 points each, Barossa included.
Yeah.
Wow. And now they dropped to 12 in a big fight to get into the four.
That's
so
massive.
So they lost 6 premiership points. They lost 3 player points for 2019-2020. But Malcolm Greenwood was the linchpin, apparently, to pay this underhanded sign-on fee. And Josh Glenn obviously has given some information regarding that. So as of today,
allegedly,
he was stood down. Not allegedly. If you're going to sue me, well then just... Yeah.
I like how you led with, he was suspended, thus he stood down.
Yeah, well, if you're suspended, you probably can't really coach. Probably should coach him from back in the table.
You're suspended, I stand down.
That'll be interesting how Williston recover for the rest of the year. Obviously, massive turmoil anyway, losing the three winning games, and then to lose your head coach.
I think they'll actually still make the finals. I've looked at the draw. I think they'll still make the finals, which will be very us against them mentality, new coach. You know, it could actually really spike their season. I'm surprised they didn't get done more points, but to put them out of finals contention, but it's going to be very interesting. It brings South Freeling into the mix to make the finals, but yeah.
Tell you what, not even Tom Brown or our mate Sam McClure would have got that news.
Sam McClure would not have got that scoop.
No,
he would have made something up.
Yeah,
totally different.
Yeah. No, so very good.
Yeah, that's good. If there's any other breaking news around the traps, feel free to let us know. And we'll break it about 6 days later.
For a second
comes
time.
Out.
Yeah, if we get our
work. Well, that is breaking today, boys.
Well done. Well done, Baz. While you're on a roll, do you have a bake?
I have a bake, boys. I'm a bit unhappy about this, and I'm not sure you're all going to...
starts his bake.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you're all going to agree with me here, and maybe our listeners may agree or disagree, but I'm not happy. And I'll tell you why I'm not happy. I'm not happy with Daisy Pierce. Okay? She slammed the proposed 2019 AFLW season for the gimmicky, I put in hyphens. For the gimmicky tournament going on for 6 weeks plus finals. Daisy, the Australian public has welcomed the women's game with open arms. You yourself have been a beneficiary of the boundary rider spots ahead of a lot more credentialed male counterparts. Gil McLaughlin has done an incredible job to put women's football on the map. Participation is at an all-time high. Crowds are at an all-time high. Membership is at an all-time high. Daisy, and I'm sure you are listening, Daisy, do not bite the hand that feeds you. And that's my bait, boys.
It was very interesting, actually. So I read the article today, and she said it's gimmicky. So she said it's been brought down into less games and then finals as well.
So they've expanded the teams that are going to play in the competition for a reduced season format.
How good is the women's game? Like, you get 10,000 in the crowds, membership is through the roof. The kids, you cannot get enough ground space, enough grass in Australia for the girls to play. I've got Holly Harris handling the footy, which would never happen. It's just unbelievable. Lindsay plays, it's unbelievable how participation has increased. Gil McLaughlin has done an outstanding job.
Charlie Flats. absolutely.
He's done an outstanding job with women's game, I think. It's just taken off. The spike on it would be ridiculous. So I think, Daisy, be careful about who you're bagging there, because I think they've done a great job, and you yourself have done very well out of it as well.
I reckon that's a point, though, because it has captured the imagination and it has got more people involved in the game and it's got more girls participating, you would think that would justify more games rather than bring it down into a reduced version to fit in between the AFLX and AFL. And it's probably looking at where Big Bash comes into it, where they've actually increased their game as well. So because of all the people following, should it actually justify more games because it is popular?
Yeah, but maybe you don't want to kill the golden goose as well. You want to keep it as a premium product.
I agree, and I think the Big Bash have done that this year by expanding the games. I think last year was some of the games are quite ho-hum. We're sort of, okay, how many more Strikers games are going to happen before finals? Don't worry, we were there on the finals day celebrating when they won the final. But I can't agree with you on this one, Baz. I liked your bake. I like the words beneficiary and participation in your bake because you're known for your words, not to be too long, but I enjoyed them. I think going from 8-plus finals to 6-plus finals, these girls train for 3-4 months leading up to the games of the season anyway. So to have only a 6-week season doesn't really make sense for me. And I think it's Gil. He's having an absolute mare the last couple of weeks with his media engagements, what he's been saying.
Do you know what I didn't like? I heard another view when they talked about trialling the games in season, and trialling the rule changes in season, and someone actually said one of the tactics of the AFL is to float it out into the public to see the reaction as a way of testing the reaction, and it was because it was so fierce. Then it was like, oh well, yeah, we weren't going to do it in season anyway.
Yeah.
So I actually don't mind that. I think the other thing with
So then what they will do is next year we'll definitely see rule changes and the ones they want.
Yeah.
What they're saying is, okay, you won't have them in season, no worries, we'll do it next year. Yeah. And we're like, okay, well, that would be a bit better than doing it this year. So they still get their way. I reckon their end result was that they wanted to do it next year and they're just really playing with us.
I reckon the test for the new schedule is exactly what you said, participation and membership. If that actually has increased because there's more interest in less games, I think it's justified. So if people start to drop off and people start don't go into the games, then
people
they probably need to relook at it. But I think the point is it's actually the game isn't about the game itself. It's about the fans and it's about the people who... Richmond have got 100,000 members. It's about those people because without those people, there is no game. There is no salary and there is no interest and there is no profile.
It will be interesting to see the backlash from the women's players about how they respond to a 6-week season.
They're still going to do it, though. The crowds,
yeah,
the money.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
They could be playing at Etzer Park for contact versus Garber with like mum and dad there, or they could be there for 10,000 people. They're still going to do it.
I like it, Baz. So the proof will be we'll see where it is next week, but I think you're right. I think the game's never been better. There's more people attending. Their members, more people playing. They're up against the challenge of soccer. Soccer's the highest participation sport in the country. I think it's a good call. I like your bait. Face, tweet of the week. You know him for some good ones. You know him for some bad ones. What do you got this week?
I've had a couple of weeks to get the tweets together. Yes, there won't be any mention of personal carpentry skills this week, just so you know, Funky.
I think that was from the deleted episode, wasn't it? So
no, that might have made it to air, but actually probably one that we missed out on. Contender number one on Faces Tweet of the Week this week, actually Patrick Keane. He's the AFL media guy, Patrick Keane. He tweeted out, Collingwood have placed Lyndon Dunn on the long-term injury list and upgraded Jack Madgen from the rookie list as his replacement. And as we know from that tweet, Jack's actually playing his debut game, Sydney-Collingwood tomorrow night, against no less than Buddy Franklin. So a great initiation. For the Madgen family, they would be absolutely over.
Do you boys play with him?
No,
he's a lot younger than us.
But he just told the history, though, folks.
So Jack Madgen, for those who don't know, he's a Williamstown boy where the three Harris boys grew up, and a great family, a great talented family. Ben, who plays in Lithuania basketball overseas, and both his sisters are very talented basketball and netballers as well. Jack played juniors at BDFC before going to the US for college basketball, playing a few years out there before coming back and played with the Cairns Taipans as a top-up player. And then his uncle was Matt Rendell, the recruiter at Collingwood. So he went on to Collingwood's list last year as a Category B rookie and gets his chance, upgraded the list due to injuries at Collingwood, and now is playing his debut AFL game. So hats off to Jack.
Good work, good luck.
And I'm really looking forward to seeing Gene in the crowd. You can just imagine him
pumped.
Twirling the mo, sitting back with Deb and the girls and really enjoying Jack's debut on Saturday night.
I'd love BT to interview him.
Oh, that'd be gold. That'd be great. After the game,
That'd be great.
Roving BT, that'd be great. Yeah.
Do we have the Magic family following us?
We will tonight. I'll get on to Jack, and he's probably got a few things to think about. I'll get on. I'll get on to Benny.
Yeah. Pre-match preparation. What did you do before your first game? I listened to Funky Bazza Face.
True. The second contender, a tweet of the week is Operation Hashtag Get Fitzy. Now,
Get Fitzy. Yes. So gaining momentum.
Following on from Ryan Fitzgerald's interview with Bob Murphy on, funny enough, Bob. Funky's actually taken over a little bit of the Twitter the last couple of weeks, and he tweeted out to Fitzy. He tweeted out, "Cracking interview, Fitzy. Sing out whenever you want to join at Funky Baz Face. Three brothers talking footy." And so we had a lot of love about that tweet. So Craig Thomas, a listener and follower,
Rusty Young,
got on board that, the old Get Fitzy. So that was good. What else we got, boys? Contender number three, Gatorade Showers. Now, it's been a long history on this podcast of where Funky sits with Gatorade Showers.
I think I set the trend with this.
So, funny enough you say that, because the GWS Giants, 2 weeks ago, I think they tweeted out, setting a good example, three players cleaning up after a Gatorade shower. Funky tweeted out, obviously, they've been listening to Funky Baz and Face. Nice work, boys. North Melbourne Football Club this week, they not only took the Gatorade shower, they did it, but they did it out on the ground, on the grass. So they didn't have anyone cleaning up the mess.
So they're only halfway there. It's mess and the waste.
There's a young debutant who played his game. He, as you can see, boys, and I know this is a podcast and so no one else can see, but throwing the bucket of Gatorade all over the young fella on the grass. Good to see. And we were wondering, is that okay, Funky? Acceptable out on the field and drowning the poor kid?
Halfway there, so that it's the waste of the substance that I'm not on board with and the mess. But if they're on with the mess, I'm happy with that. Okay. That's good.
Contender number four, Rowan Connolly. I'm not sure if you listened to the North Melbourne Eagles game last week. At half time, Alistair Lynch was talking to Dermot Brereton. And he kind of got his words mixed up between focus and ruck battle. Now, if I can say that again, focus and ruck battle, he kind of mixed those words up. So for the remainder of the year, he's going to beep it and focus on the ruck battle. Now, poor Dermot tried to keep it together and did a very good job, Dermot. So if we'll tweet it out, but Dermot's smirk was just classic.
Very good.
Have you been watching the Tour Down Under?
I'm ashamed to say I don't, because I like my cycling. I just haven't got into it.
Is it still going?
No, it's finished.
No, I think it's finished now. Philippe Gilbert, you might have seen on the Tour Down France and all our listeners, he was the rider who went down the hill at a million miles an hour, hit some sort of wobbly curve, and then did the A over T over a brick wall, over the stone barrier. So he tweeted out, when you have a broken kneecap and decide to keep going for another 60Ks. So I felt some sympathy with the boy. So this is, I'll just bring up Philippe's knee, boys. And here's the difference between his knee sizes. So he rode for 60Ks on that knee. We'll tweet it out on Funky Baz and Face. And there's Face's knee of about 5 years ago. Very similar.
So do the comparison, and I actually saw you in your last game. Came out to see Face in his last game, and he was on the bench with a broken kneecap.
Yep.
That's how he finished his very distinguished career.
Illustrious career at Walkable Oval. And not only did the trainer think I had a corky that day and try to rub it out, I actually said, let's rub it out and see if you can get back onto that back pocket and really contribute to the B-grade side at Walkable. That was a career ending. So all the best to Philippe in his...
Just that Tour de France. Tour de France. The police there were an absolute disgrace.
Yeah, they were.
The UK guy.
You got one policeman that tackles a rider, right? If that happened in Adelaide, it'd be a national outcry here. And didn't they spray some tear gas on
they
these
did.
Protesters and it got into the eyes?
Shambles.
Absolute shambles.
The police, what's going on?
Is it a professional race or...
Disgraceful.
Shocking. But the winner of the week is at Footy Places. Going on from all the suggested rule changes happening in the AFL over the last couple of weeks, at Footy Places tweeted out, was going to say that the AFL needs to stop shifting the goalposts, but I don't want to give them any more ideas. And that's the tweet of the week.
That's not bad, Face. That is not bad at all. Very good. Boys, great to be in here together.
Yeah, but it feels cosy.
It does feel very
great
cosy.
Great warmth. I wonder where the air conditioning's come from.
Yeah, because you get banished to the shed normally. Play. So I hope everyone enjoyed it. I hope you didn't miss us too much last week, but we're looking forward to next week as well.
So what do we want to hear? We want to have some tweets out from all our listeners and followers and suggestions for Would You Rathers.
Yeah, tell me if you liked my Would You Rather. Do you have a Would You Rather? And Face is going to tweet out all his photos that he showed us here that no one could actually see.
And maybe the best tweet we get from our listeners and followers will get a first chance at merchandise.
That T-shirt, when we get that, we'll send that
out.
It'll
be hot property.
That will be very hot property.
Cheers, boys.
See very good.
See you around. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.